It's so good to be back here at Calvary Cathedral. I have been rebuked by our congregation when I've said our home church, because they say that's not your home church anymore, this is your home church. But I believe you understand what we mean when we say it's so good to be back home with our spiritual parents and the best pastors in the whole world, Pastor Bob and Joy Nichols. And as you heard, my wife would have been here except for that our grandson, their great-grandson, had a little accident, so my wife felt compelled to and anointed to be a grandmother and stay with Ben tonight. So she gives her regards to each and every one of you. It is wonderful to be here. And there's a tremendous history and connection here at Calvary Cathedral. In 1983, I came here and not knowing exactly what God had for me and what he had in mind, I plugged into this church, and God used Pastor Bob Nichols to groom and develop us and to prepare us for ministry. And one of the things that Pastor ingrained into us more than anything else is that value relationships more than opportunities. See, opportunities come and opportunities go. But when the rubber meets the road and things get difficult, opportunities aren't there to get you through, but people are. So it's so important to value relationships more than opportunities. And because of our relationship with them, they enabled us to plant a great church in Columbia. It's not just about all the things that we've seen, but it's about the faithfulness of God that we learn to be able to trust God and depend on God and know that God can do the impossible, because we served under a pastor who ultimately saw God do the impossible. So if you have your Bibles with me, open them with me today to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And I understand that you heard this already this Sunday, but it's always good to hear it again. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to be used of the Holy Spirit to teach the Word of God. And Lord, it's my desire that each and every person will receive something from you this evening. And Father, that your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The theme of this message comes right out of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, which says, now. Now is the time to thank God. Now thanks be unto God, which, if you read your Bible enough, may cause you to triumph. Oh, that's not the translation you have? Which, if you pray enough, you may be lucky enough to triumph. No, that's not what it says either, huh? No. The Bible actually says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes, which means, cause means he puts into effect. He puts into place a way of having something happen in your life, which always causes you to be victorious and triumph. It may not look like you're going to triumph. It may not look like you're going to overcome. But the Word of God says you will always overcome. And I don't know about you, but I like the fact that it doesn't matter what I'm going through. I know that God's going to see me through whatever I'm going through, because God and I make a majority. And about a month ago, I was going to men's breakfast, and I was meditating on the message that God had put in my heart to share with the men that morning. And he spoke to me and asked me, will you build me a Joshua generation? And I hesitated at first, because when I was about 26 years old, 27 years old, there was a new Joshua generation that was rising up. And it was a new doctrine, and the doctrine went along the facts that The younger men needed to take over the pulpit of the older men. And some of them were bold enough to say that Kenneth Hagin needed to sit down and Brother Copeland needed to sit down because the Joshua generation has arrived. And they even said that, some of them said it about Pastor Bob, he needs to let us younger men preach. And I went to Pastor and I said, Pastor, something's wrong with that doctrine. I said, I don't like it. I don't want anything to do with it. And he said, Brother Tom, he said, you know, you just mark my word, there'll be a time you won't even find those men around, much less them becoming a Joshua generation. And today I can't find those men that thought they should be the Joshua generation. So when the Lord spoke to me and said, will you build me a Joshua generation? At first I hesitated, like, what is that all about? And I asked him, I said, what is a Joshua generation? And a Joshua generation is a generation that refuses to be denied. A Joshua generation is a generation that believes what God says. They believe that you can have what God says you can have. You can do what God says you can do. You can go where God says you can go. You can be what God says you can be, and you can say what God says you can say. Does somebody have a witness in the house tonight? You may need to help me with this message. Because I'm here to tell you that God wants a Joshua generation to rise up and to take hold of the promises that he said you can have. Amen. He wants a generation to rise up and say, I can be what God says I can be. I can do what God says I can do. I can go where God says I can go. I can have what God says I can have, and I can say what God says I can say. God's looking for a people who will rise up and enter in the place where they believe that all his promises are yes and amen. And so as I begin to meditate and study out the generation of Joshua that went into the promised land, I realize, and you'll find this in the book of Numbers chapter 13, that 40 years before the Joshua generation obtained what God said they could obtain, God had made them a promise that they could have already had it. And I read that, and the Bible tells us that God spoke to Moses and said, send 12 men into the promised land to go spy out the promised land. All of them were appointed of God. All of them were leaders under Moses' leadership. All of them were people of influence. God wanted to use these 12 spies to go in and to bring back a report that would encourage the children of Israel to go in and take what God had already given them. But 10 of them gave a bad report. 10 of the appointed leaders of God gave a bad report, such a bad report, that it caused the children of Israel to be delayed the promises that God had for them. And Joshua and Caleb ran through the camp ripping their clothes saying, stop this bad report. We can take the land and we can take it now. But those appointed, 10 appointed men of God chose to take a different path. And they said, we look like grasshoppers in their eyes, and they even think we look like grasshoppers. And so the Lord said to Moses, he said, this generation won't see it. But yet Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. They had a spirit that said, you know, if God spoke to Moses for us to jump off a bridge, then there'll be a trampoline underneath it. Because we will do what the man of God says we can do, because God always uses a man of God to help us get where God wants us to go, to help us say what God wants us to say, to help us be what God wants us to be, to help us do what God wants us to do, and to help us to have what God wants us to have. And I'm a witness of being a man under a man of God. And I've shared with many, many other people several times. They've asked us, what is the secret to your success? There is no secret to my success. I have a spiritual father. I have someone who I have seen and been tested over and over, seeing the goodness and the miraculous work through him. And if God can do it for Pastor Bob Nichols, I know God can do it for me. And so Joshua had to wait year after year. God spoke to Moses and said, none of these people from age 19 and younger will go into the promised land. And some of the same people that Joshua walked shoulder to shoulder across the Red Sea on dry land died off. Some of the same people that Joshua fought the war against the Amalekites and defeated the Amalekites with, he had to let go because they chose to believe the wrong leadership. They chose to listen to the wrong reports. And year after year, Joshua would take these 19-year-olds and say, we can have the promised land. God has given Moses a vision, and we don't have to alter that vision, and we don't have to change that vision. All we have to do is believe that God will give it to us, and we can have it.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
And then the next year, there were 20. He'd say the same thing, and the next year, they'd be 21. He'd say the same thing, and year after year after year, Joshua watched probably some dear friends, people that he admired and respected and loved, die off in the wilderness because they chose to follow the wrong leadership. But a Joshua generation will rise up and say, we will follow the vision and the plan and the purpose that God has given the man of God. You know, one of the things as I began to read about the Joshua generation, I realized that the first thing that God spoke to Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, what was Joshua doing when God spoke to him? He was waiting for Moses to come back. Joshua wasn't looking to succeed Moses. Joshua was looking to fulfill the vision that God had put in Moses' life. And the Lord had to speak to Joshua and say, Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Now you're the man to take these people into the promised land. He said, but only be strong and of good courage. And I believe God spoke that two or three, maybe four times to Joshua. But before it was all said and done, the people said this to Joshua, Joshua, you be strong, and you be of good courage. For as we were with Moses, which means that as we believe the word that God gave Moses, we're going to believe that same word that God gave you. We're not here to change the vision. We're here to fulfill the vision. And as God was with Moses, we also shall be with you. But Joshua, you be strong and of good courage, and Joshua, we will not rebel. And not only that, but we'll kill anybody who rebels against you. I like that. Joshua, you'll never have to worry about rebellion in the camp anymore. Because if it raises up its ugly head, we'll take care of it for you. And so Joshua was encouraged by that generation that he had encouraged for the last 40 years. Go, Joshua, and be what God says we can be. Lead us into the promises that you have told us that God said we could have for the last 40 years. We're looking for you, Joshua, to take us into what God says we can have. And so the first thing they did was cross the Jordan River, and the Bible says that as they crossed the Jordan River, that it parted all the way up to the city of Edom. That's a long ways from where they were at. And as they departed, the Bible said that God commanded them to put some stones, 12 stones, one per tribe, as a memorial. As a memorial. So that you can go back and tell your children about the goodness of God. What God did that day that you crossed the Jordan River. What God did for you when you stepped out in faith and trusted Him. A memorial so your children will remember the legacy of the goodness of God. Why? So that they can know that if God did it for Joshua and God did it for Moses, God will do it for them. And I'm here to tell you, is there a Joshua generation here tonight? Because if there is, you can be what God says you can be. You can go where God says you can go. You can have what God says you can have.
Hallelujah.
You can say what God says you can say, and you can do what God says you can do. There's a Joshua generation here tonight. I want you to stand on your feet and shout to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can be seated. And so the first thing God said was, build me a memorial. And see, before you can be a trail maker, you must be a trail marker. This is how it was done by Pastor Bob Nichols. And if God will do it for Pastor Bob Nichols, God will do it for me, and God will do it for you. And I don't have to change the vision. All I have to do is believe and trust God. So many times we invite some of the same ministers that you have here to our place there in Columbia just because of relationship. And the kindest, nicest thing Vicki and I've ever heard these guest ministers say is, you remind us of Pastor Bob and Joy Nichols. I've often said if I could be half the man that he is, I know I'll do great things for God. But you know, God dealt with my heart and said, I didn't design the Son to do half of what the Father did. I designed the Son to do twice as much as what the Father has done. And I know that I can be what God says I can be, and I can do what God says I can do, and I can say what God says I can say, and I can go where God says I can go, and I can have what God says I can have because I saw God do it for my Father.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so we need to remember what God's done for Pastor Bob Nichols. 1952, as he was driving down Highway 287. You need to know these things. He fell asleep at the wheel with one of his closest friends, Sam Smith. That car flipped over at a high rate of speed, should have killed him. As they crawled out of that heap of wreck, Pastor Bob knelt down. And that was the day he said, I surrender all to you, God. Whatever you can do with my life, it is now yours. There is no messing around. He was saved, but he needed to take another step of total commitment to God so that God could show him his greatness. It wasn't but 60 days later the man was preaching, 17 years old. Became a youth minister for the assistant district superintendent of the Assembly of God. Ken Anderson served there for 9 months. Somewhere in there, he married Joy. My wife likes what Pastor says, behind every great man of God is a good woman of God. She reminds me of that quote that he says a lot. And then he served under Joy's father-in-law for 9 years, J.C. Thompson. And during that time, he had some ornery brother-in-laws. Oh, they said they were doing it in fun, but I have a feeling that there was something more involved than just a little fun there. As they locked him out of the building one time when they were all supposed to be in a radio broadcast. But Pastor was determined, and he found a window opened in the basement and crawled through the basement window and made it to the radio broadcast on time. Well, that's awesome, this determination. But see, you know what's even more awesome? He still loves those guys. He took a sabbatical twice, 90 days, worked for Gordon Lindsay. It just so happens that Gordon Lindsay was powerfully being used of God in the voice of healing. But what most people don't know is that John G. Lake laid hands on Gordon Lindsay. Are you getting the legacy? Do you see your spiritual DNA coming down the line? Kenneth Hagin laid hands on Pastor Bob Nichols. Pastor was given an opportunity to go pastor in Austin, Texas. And Kenneth Hagin spoke to him. He said, you can have God's permissible will, but if you wait, you'll have God's perfect will. How many of you are glad that he waited on God's perfect will? Yeah. You know what that tells me? That tells me that you can be what God says you can be. You can have what God says you can have. You can go where God says you can go, and you can do what God says you can do, and you can say what God says you can say. Amen. See, a Joshua generation is not looking to take over. A Joshua generation is looking to continue on. Yeah. Hallelujah. Continue on in the miracle-working power of God. 1964, Easter of 1964, he pioneered this great work. No one to support him. All he had was his family and faith in God. He bought that old post office building. I don't remember all the details and the facts of how he got into it, but somehow he got that old post office building, and he jackhammered floors. He knocked out walls. He shellacked. He painted. He recarpeted. He remodeled. And he built Calvary Evangelistic Temple on Berry Street. Well, as time went on, God blessed them. They had a tremendous bus ministry. In fact, one of the rumors, the fastest way you get to heaven is getting out, get in front of one of those buses on Berry Street. One day, these hippies came in and said, Pastor Bob, nobody will let us come and do our gigs. And Pastor had just cried out to God and said, Lord, whatever it takes to reach our community. He had one of those Sundays where nobody showed up. All his volunteers didn't show up. People weren't in Sunday school. And after church, he went and got down on his face before God and said, God, whatever it takes. And these hippies walked in and they said, Pastor Bob, nobody will let us come play our Jesus music. Will you let us play our Jesus music? And he just about rose up and said, you know, I can understand why they don't let you play your Jesus music. And then the Lord reminded him, anything? And those hippies came in with their electric guitars and drums, and they rocked the saints, not in the right way, but they also rocked their community. In 1976, the First Baptist Church of downtown came to Pastor Bob Nichols and said, you know, we need someone to buy this facility. Will you buy this facility? Everything in the natural realm said, it can't be done. Your church isn't big enough. Your finances aren't good enough. But yet something on the inside of Pastor Bob Nichols says, I can be what God says I can be. I can go where God says I can go. I can do what God says I can do. I can have what God says I can have, and I can say what God says I can say. And he did. Well, through the process of financing that property, they had to give up the lower 8 acres. And they end up selling it for $850,000. And Pastor called that his Isaac on the altar. When he sold it, he said, "You will come back to me someday." Why? Because he believed he could have what he said. He could do what God said he could do. And year after year, that property got turned over from one financial company to another financial company. And in the process of it, they built a parking lot, a lighted parking lot, connected it to the upper hill. And year after year, that property kept on escalating. Tax issues, all kinds of things happened. And one day, they came to Pastor and they said, "This thing's been nothing but a Jonah since we've had it. Would you make an offer?" So he bought 8 acres that was developed, paved, parking lot for $100,000 after he sold it for $850,000 years before. I don't know about you, but that's a good businessman. "Pastor, come lay hands on me. I want those kind of deals." But you know, Pastor, we've had those kind of deals. We started in an old bar. It's part of the legacy. I remember calling him up because I had a beer cooler. And it was in the way. And it had 8 inches of concrete, so I went rented a jackhammer. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I remembered Pastor talking about the times that he did some jackhammering. Cleaned out that old cooler, remodeled that old bar, made a nice chapel out of it, nice church. Held 150 people. After 4 years running 2 services, it was paid for, supernatural financing. And in December of 2002, I came up to Fort Worth to spend some time with Pastor, and we're having lunch, and just lunch, just talk, just visit. And we're about ready to go, and he said, "Brother Tom, let's have a word of prayer." Okay, that's fine, man. I'll pray. Not something we normally did. Not something we normally do. He began to prophesy and said, "There's going to be a church in Columbia that's going to come to you and want to merge with you." I thought, wow, that's so cool. And there was a church we were helping, had a congregation of 10 or 15 people, maybe 20. I thought, well, maybe they'll want to merge with us. And I thought another one, they had about 20 or 30. I thought, maybe they'll want to merge with us. So January came by, didn't hear anything. February came by, didn't hear anything. March came by, didn't hear anything. April came by, and this big church, the pastor resigned. I didn't think a whole lot of it, you know. Then May and June and July, and all of a sudden the transition team of that church, remember the word was, they come to you and want to merge with you, came in August of 2003 and said, "Pastor Luther, we have come to some of your services and we want to know if you'd like to merge churches." Immediately I remembered the word. I thought, well, I don't know. Don't know if this is God. Not everything that comes to you, not every opportunity that comes to you that lines up maybe with the prophetic word is necessarily God. So I called Pastor up and I said, "Hey, you know that word you gave me?" "Yeah, I remember the word." I said, "Well, this church came to us." He said, "Well, what do you think?" I said, "Well, I don't like the location." I said, "It's in an obscure place. It's actually out in the country where hardly anybody knows where it's at." He said, "Well, why don't you and Vicky go walk the property and see what you feel?" So we went out there and we walked the property. And we thought, you know, it does feel pretty good. We think this might be God. So the next week, the transition team came to us and said, we absolutely want to do this. I said, okay. Then the following week, in one day, our church tripled in size and land. In one day. The banker made it happen in a day. He didn't ask for any financial records. He didn't ask for board approval. I walked into the bank, told the banker what I was thinking about, what was presented to me on Monday. And on Wednesday, he said, come sign the papers. It's all yours. Plus the debt. Biggest debt I ever signed for. But our last property that we had bought for $125,000 and remodeled is now appraised at $365,000 in 5 years. Why did this happen? Because I can have what I say. I can have what God says I can have. I can do what God says I can do. I can go where God says I can go. I can be what God says I can be, and I can say what God says I can say. How come I have that kind of faith? Because I've seen it in this man and woman. Amen. See, a Joshua generation is not looking to take over. A Joshua generation is looking to continue on with the vision. And the first thing God spoke to Joshua was, make a memorial. See, I remember these things. My wife and I, when we go through trials and tribulations, and don't think that pastoring doesn't have its trials and its tribulation. The next time you don't think pastoring doesn't have its trials and tribulations, look in the mirror. That's supposed to be funny. We have our challenges. But our greatest challenge is the 10 spies who misled the other people. Trying to keep the sheep separated from the goats. That's our greatest challenge. You know, some people, they go, Pastor Luther, you're just controlling. Oh, I wish I was. Because if I was really controlling, I could prevent a lot of heartache. I wish I really could separate some people from some other people. But we can't. We have to trust God. And so God spoke to Joshua and he said, build me a memorial so that your kids' kids and their kids will grow up knowing they can be what God says they can be. That they can go where God says they can go. They can have what God says they can have. They can do what God says they can do. And they can say what God says they can say. And then in 2000, many of you, some of you know the story, some of you don't. But you need to know this story. But two twin tornadoes came through downtown Fort Worth and completely wiped out 5th and Penn. Not totally completely wiped it out, but did so much damage that they couldn't have church there. And so, I don't know, you know, a lot of people called up pastor and comforted him. I called him up, said, you all right? Tom, I'm all right. The miracle is that not one person got killed. Only one person ended up with 3 stitches. That's pretty miraculous. But you know, that tornado ripped the roof off of that place. And it wasn't so much that it couldn't be rebuilt, but because it didn't have a covering. It ruined the rest of it. That's what happens to Christians when they don't have the right kind of covering. When a storm comes and blows, and they don't have the right kind of covering, the elements that they're left in end up ruining everything else they had. But I believe that God's raising up a Joshua generation. A generation that says, you know what, I remember what God did for Pastor Bob and Joy. And so they got in this facility. God opened it up. A lot of other things took place. They could have made a lot of other decisions. But you know, they made every decision not based on what was best for them, but what was best for you. Every time they call me and say, pray with me, Tom Luther, it's always about what is best for you. And see, those 10 spies, all they cared about was what was best for them. And they died off in the wilderness. But I believe God's raising up a Joshua generation that says, you know what? I'm not here for any other reason but to be what God said I can be. And to do what God says I can do. And to go where God says I can go. And to have what God says I can have. And to say what God says I can say. I believe God's raising up a Joshua generation. And one of the things that I saw in this study, and there's a lot more. This is just a tip of the iceberg. But you know, when the Israelites faced their first battle against the Amalekites, as long as Moses' hands were lifted up, they won the battle. But as soon as Moses' hands got tired, they began to lose the battle. And then Moses raised his hand, they win. Then he let his hands down, go back down, they start losing. He raised his hand. And you know what I see in that story? It only takes two men to lift up the man of God's hands to overcome any battle. It was two spies that said, we can do this, Moses. It only takes two. It just takes two. And I know Pastor Bob has more than two people to lift up his hands because I'm one of them. Is there a Joshua generation here? Is there a generation that says, Pastor, be strong, be of good courage, lead us to the next promises that God has for us? Is there a Joshua generation that says, Pastor, we can, not you can, not I can, but we can. Calvary Cathedral International can be what God says we can be. Can go where God says we can go. Can have what God says we can have. Can do what God says we can do, and can say what God says we can say. I believe with all this witnessing going on around here, I believe with all the souls that are being saved, I believe this is Calvary Cathedral's finest hours. In fact, I declare over Calvary Cathedral, this is going to be and is the finest, most outstanding year that you, the members of Calvary Cathedral, have ever experienced. It's going to be a time of great wealth and great opportunities. This year will be a year of suddenlies, a year of full recovery of everything that has been lost, a release of heaven's increase. In fact, this year is going to be so exciting and full of blessings, which will overtake you so that when this year comes to an end, instead of being glad that the year is over, as we have been all too often, you won't want to see this year end. You say, Pastor Tom, it's Thanksgiving. And I say, we serve a big God. We serve a big God. You may have already had a tough year this year. It may have already been challenging, and you may have already been looking forward to the new year, but I'm here to tell you that God's not done yet. He's not finished with you yet.
Amen.
As I bring it to a close, I want to share a prophecy that Brother Copeland gave November 10th, 2011. That was approximately a year ago. You wait and see what the next 14 months, 15 months, 16 months, 17 months, 18 months, bring to those who insist on living and walking by faith. You just watch and see, saith the Lord. You want to see what I can do in this earth? You want to see what I can do when the rest of the world is flat on its face, not to praise me, but to have their face pushed in the mud by the devil? You want to see what the power of the resurrection is like? Then you begin to praise me. You begin to worship me every day, and you put my word first place in your life, and you get up every morning and shout, everything's going to be all right. You enter into my rest, saith the Lord. You enter in my way of doing things. You take your rest with me, and you place yourself in the secret place of the Most High, and watch me work in your life. Watch me work in the life of your children. Watch me work in the life of your nation, and watch me work in this world. You watch me work for the next 18 months, and you'll be glad you came, saith the Lord. I'll do this thing. I'll do it. For you are the very center of my intention. In my eyes, you are second to none. For you see, even in my own eyes, you're not second to Jesus, but you are heir with him. And I see you in him, and I see him in you. And our time has come. And you just rest in me and smile every morning and say, God loves me, and everything's going to be all right. God loves me, and everything's going to be all right. God loves me, and everything is going to be all right. Is there a Joshua generation that will rise to his feet and say, everything is going to be all right? Is there a Joshua generation that will rise to his feet and say, I can have what God says I can have. I can be what God says I can be. I can go where God says I can go. I can do what God says I can do. And I can say what God says I can say. Is there a Joshua generation in the house? Well, now thanks be unto God. When? Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Now's the time to thank God. Now's the time to praise God for your legacy. Now's the time to thank God for what has happened in the past. Now's the time to thank God for what he's doing in the present. And now is time to thank God for what he's doing in our future. Is there a Joshua generation here tonight? Is there someone who says, I'm going to take what God says I can have? I might be delayed, but by the grace of God, I won't be denied. Joshua had to wait. But you know what? We're under a different covenant than Joshua. We're in a covenant that says, you know what, if you got hired at the first of the day or you get hired at the end of the day, you're still going to get the same thing.
That's right.
We're in a covenant that says, if God be for you, who can be against you?
Yes.
We're in a covenant that says, he is well able to finish that work that he began in you.
Yes.
We're in a covenant that, who can separate us from the love or the power or the ability of God?
Right.
We're in a different covenant than Joshua's in. We're in a covenant of, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're in a covenant where Mark 11:22 says, have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, whoever keeps on saying and saying and saying and saying, and saying, I can be what God says I can be. I can do what God says I can do. I can go where God says I can go. I can have what God says I can have. And I can say what God says I can say. You know, God spoke to Abraham and Sarah and said, you're going to have a child. And Sarah laughed within herself. She laughed. You know, he was 99 and she was 90. She laughed. And the Lord said, why did she laugh? He says, I tell you what, you read all the translations you want, but there's no way of misinterpreting it. What God really said was, look, Sarah, I'm going to turn time backwards for you. If you believe God, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. If you believe God, if God has to turn time backwards, He'll do it just for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Susan used to sing a song. I've been on her after her to sing this song for me every time I come here. And she hasn't been obedient to God yet, but it says, I have reason to believe in miracles.
To expect them.
And many of you know that song. And there was a day that Susan Foster got up and sang that song. There was a lady that came to the church, and she had determined she was going to take her life that day. And when that song was sang, God changed that girl in a moment of time. Because I have reason, because of the memorials that we have erected of the goodness of God. I have reason to believe. I have reason to believe. The Joshua generation has reason to believe. Amen. Is there a Joshua generation in the house tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's give God praise. Do you need healing in your body? Lift your hand up. Don't go anywhere. Lift your hand up. You need healing in your body? Lift your hand up. Lift it up nice and high. Okay? You know, you guys are so on fire for God. I felt instructed of the Lord to have you look around and see someone with their hands up and go lay hands on the sick. Amen. You go lay hands on the sick. Somebody make my job easier tonight. You go lay hands on the sick. You're a believer. Are you a believer? The Bible says that believers shall lay hands on the sick. You know, listen, it's not just about winning them to the Lord. It's about showing the goodness of God. That's why this woman got healed of arthritis of the knees. God's hand is upon this congregation. Father, in the name of Jesus, I add my faith of agreement that each and every person that's receiving hands laid upon them is healed right now in the name of Jesus. I take authority over every disappointment. I take authority over every disease. I take authority over every setback. And I declare that you are whole and healed by the power and the name and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for healing those who are having hands laid up on them at this time in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is there a Joshua generation here tonight? Is there a Joshua?